thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
In our lives as the body of Christ, and the four things that we committed to, and just as a reminder, let me mention these to you. The four things that we've committed to over the next 40 days is to connect with one another either face to face or shoulder to shoulder. That's why we did the ministry fair, the small group fair for the couple weeks out here with the balloons, to encourage all of us to get involved at least for the next 40 days. And then hopefully from that, we'll encourage us to stay connected wherever we started. The next thing that we asked you to commit to was to listen to the weekly podcast. It's very simple to do that. If you just go to the website, you can download the podcast. It was up fairly quick last week. It was up. I listened to it on Tuesday. So I want to encourage you to go to the website and listen to the podcast. Also want to remind you that with that, you can text in your questions. The details and the information of that are on the back of your update. So if you have any questions that are related to our service this morning, text them in. The instructions are on the back of your update, and we'll do our very best to address those in that podcast. The third thing was the momentum memory verse. Encouraged you to memorize a verse. We'll go over that this morning as our service is ending, but they're simple verses. Want to encourage you to memorize that verse. And then finally, on December 10th and 11th, we're going to have our celebration Sunday or celebration weekend where we're going to gather together. We're going to have baptism. We're going to share testimonies. And you know, there's something about doing things together. When you do things together, when you do things together as a family, when you do things together as a group, wherever it is and whatever it is, there's something that builds inside of us, a camaraderie, and something that builds on the inside of us. And I want to encourage you, it's not too late. If this is your first Sunday, it's not too late to jump right in. Jump right in with both feet. Pastor George did two pre-campaign messages. And then last week, Pastor George talked about the life of Joseph. What we're doing with the Momentum campaign is we're picking out Bible characters and we are studying their lives related to momentum and what God did in their lives that moved them forward, moved them into what God had for them and how that affected their lives. Last week, Pastor George talked about Joseph and momentum in spite of the circumstances. Circumstances are not always favorable, but regardless of the circumstances, we can have momentum. Today, what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about new momentum that springs from new choices. When I look around this room, and I thought about this last night as well, when I look around this room, there are literally thousands and thousands and thousands of choices that will be made in this room today. You made many just getting up today. You made many in deciding how you were going to start your day. Some of the choices that we make are pretty insignificant. I'll give you an example. I just thought about this yesterday. I got up early yesterday morning, was getting ready to go to men's prayer breakfast, and I was putting my shoes and socks on, and this hit me. It had never hit me before. I always put my right sock on first, but I always put my left shoe on first. Now, you could care less about that. You're thinking, what does that have to do? It has nothing to do with anything except that I made a choice to do that. And for whatever reason, I do that every single day, and I've done that all of my life. Those are not the kind of choices I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the kind of choices that whether I put my right sock on or my left sock, right shoe, left shoe, that's not what I'm talking about. The choices that we're talking about are the choices that affect our momentum, the choices that affect how we live our lives and what we do in our lives. This is a true statement. We are where we are today, every single one of us in this room, primarily because of the choices that we've made. Now, some of those have been made by us. Some of those have been made for us. But we are where we are today because of choices. Choices are very significant. They matter. They're important. So we're going to study, we're going to look at the life of Paul this morning. And we're going to look at his life and we're going to look at choices and how choices affected his life. What they did in his life, what we can learn from his life. The wonderful thing about having the scriptures is that we can glean from the scriptures what God wants us to know. And what I love about it is that I don't always have to repeat the hard things. Aren't you glad for that? I don't always have to learn the most difficult lessons. I can read about them and learn from them before I have to walk into them. So we're going to talk about new momentum that springs from new choices. And I'm going to pray, and I'm just going to ask that God would speak to every one of our hearts. Because like I said a minute ago, there are thousands of choices represented in here today. Some of those choices are very important. Some of those choices are very significant. And the new momentum that God wants to bring into our lives are going to spring from the choices that we make. So I want to pray for a sensitivity to the Spirit of God. Just a sensitivity so that as God begins to lead us and continues to guide us like he faithfully does, that we will be open to that. So join me as we pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the treasure of your word. And Lord, this morning as we open your word, would you enlighten our hearts? Father, some of the choices we make, like I described this morning, are not significant in that they direct our lives. But Lord, many of the choices that we will make today and many of the choices that we will make tomorrow and Lord, even into the future are important and significant. So Lord, let us glean from the Apostle Paul the truth and the significance of our choices. Lord, let our hearts be open and receptive now to your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to start in Philippians chapter 3, and I want to read to you from Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 8 in the New Living Translation. Paul's writing this, and he is a prisoner. He is writing a letter, but this is one of Paul's prison epistles. So he is in a place that he probably is not happy to be in, but yet out of that is flowing this life-giving letter. Boy, isn't that true in our lives? There are times in our lives that we are places that we don't necessarily want to be, but the choice that we make when we're in that place determines how we'll come out of that. That's what Pastor George taught us last week when it comes to Joseph. So when we read Philippians chapter 3, we're discovering a couple things about Paul. We're discovering, first of all, some of Paul's old choices and his conclusions. So it's as if Paul pulls the curtain back and he says, let me let you peek into my life just a little bit. And that's what he's doing in Philippians chapter 3. He says, though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could, he says, indeed, if others have reasons for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew, if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strict disobedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church, and as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. Now, many of these things that we are reading about are choices that Paul made. He made choices. He didn't make the choice to get circumcised when he was 8 days old. I'm pretty sure of that. But some of these other choices, these things that are describing who and what he was, those were based on choices that he had made. As he started to get older and as he started to filter how he was going to do life, these were choices. These were some of Paul's old choices. But now as we continue to read, here's his conclusion about those old choices. Here's what he says. I once thought all of these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless. Listen to that word that Paul uses, worthless, when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else. Underline the word discarded. I have discarded everything else, counting it as garbage, so that I can gain Christ. So Paul is thinking back, and he's thinking about what he once was, and now he's thinking about, and he's beginning to describe in Philippians chapter 3, what he's become. And what he's become is in direct relation to the choices that he continues to make. I submit that to you today, that that is true of our lives. We will become what we make choices to become and do. That is a fact. And so what can we learn about Paul? What can we learn about his choices? That's what we're going to unpack this morning. Notice the definition of choice on your outline. Here's what it is. The voluntary act of selecting or separating from two or more things that which is preferred. So I've got this opportunity to select from more than one thing. Isn't that how life works? And that's how choices work. And what I want is I want new momentum in my life that's going to spring from new choices. And I want to be able to filter those choices that I face based on right information so that as I make choices that are going to bring this new momentum in my life, I can become what God wants me to become. The determination of the mind in preferring one thing over another, that's choices. Now, here's a couple things that Paul said. These are not on your notes, but here's a couple things that Paul said about himself that were based on choices that he had made in his life. Paul said, I was, notice the word was, I was a sinner. Paul describes in his writings, and we have more writing from Paul in the New Testament than any other author. I was a sinner. He said, I was immature. He's describing what he was based on the choices that he had made. I was self-righteous. All of this we find out about Paul in his writings, but he says this now. He said, but now I am ready. Paul said that in many of his writings, I am ready. He said, I am not ashamed. These are things that we find out about Paul as he's making new choices. I am not ashamed. He says in other places, I am free from pleasing man. When you read about the transformation of Paul's life, it's all based on choices. The new momentum that he had in his life sprang from the new choices that he was making. So all of us, every one of us in this room, have made bad choices. Every one of us have made bad choices. And the result of those bad choices has been negative momentum. But as we begin to make right choices, and choices that are right according to God's word and God's will and his purpose and his plan for our life, then we get positive momentum that moves us forward. So what can we learn from the life of Paul? What makes a person say, I once was, but I now am? I want you to open your outline, and I want us to unpack this a little bit. Let me give you the first point on your outline. And I want to explain these things, and all of our points and all of our illustrations are kind of come from the life of Paul, because Paul is the character that we're studying today about new momentum springing from new choices. And point number one is this on your outline. A learned truth must become a living truth. A learned truth must become a living truth. Let me read Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 for you, and then let's look at this a little bit. Paul says this, and now, dear brothers, and again, he's not in a favorable situation. He's locked up. He's incarcerated. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. So in conclusions, here's what Paul says. Fix your thoughts. Think about that statement. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Now notice this statement. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And then Paul says this, and keep putting them into practice. All that you've learned and received from me, everything that you've heard from me and saw in me, then the peace of God will be with you. So here's literally what Paul is saying. You learn these things so that you can live them. Think about these things. Think about what things? Think about things that are true. Think about things that are noble, things that are right, things that are honorable, things that are excellent or praiseworthy. But he doesn't just stop there. He doesn't say, just think about these things. He says, then do those things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me, Paul says, do likewise. So literally what Paul is doing as a man who is making choices is he is saying, I am a model, follow me. I am a model, follow me as I follow Christ. So learned truth must become living truth. If I'm going to make new choices that are going to bring new momentum in my life, it is not going to do me any good to learn it if I don't live it. It's not going to do me any good to fill my head with the knowledge of the word if there's no application of it. And really, the choices are the manifestation of what we're applying in life. That's what choices are. Choices are the manifestation of what we're learning. We're applying those things. So learned truth has to become living truth. So it works somewhat like this. It gets from here to my feet. And then I begin to walk it out. So if I want new momentum that's going to spring from new choices and I'm going to learn lessons from Paul, then I've got to learn it and live it. Why does Paul describe these things? And he describes specific things. He said things that are true, things that are honorable, things that are right and pure. The reason is because Paul knew from his past and now in the future that choices flow from learned behavior. My choices flow from learned behavior. So if the behavior that I'm manifesting is unhealthy, then I need to make new choices. And so I have to learn truth and then live it. This is a true statement concerning learning and living truth. We learn in public, but we master in private the things of God. Fill that in, please. We learn in public, but we master in private the things of God. When you read about the life of Paul and the history of Paul, he oftentimes learned these things, but where he mastered the things of God, where he mastered being able to make right choices so that when he's in prison and he has to say, I've learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, where we master the difficulties in life is not when we learn it, but when we live it. And we often learn those things in public. But where I'm going to master the things of God are in private. When I'm face-to-face with a difficult choice, when I'm face-to-face with a difficult experience, and I have to make the right call. And that's what Paul is telling us here. That's what Paul is saying. Notice what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is. Now notice what he says here. And this word continues to what? Work in you who believe. So what Paul was saying is that we learn it, but then we have to let it work in us. So if I'm going to make new choices that are going to bring new momentum, I've got to learn truth so that I can live it. And the only way that I can live it is as it's working on the inside of me. I'm learning these things that are true and noble and excellent, and I'm letting those things get down on the inside of me and then work through me. That's the life of Paul. Paul did that. And as he did that, the manifestation was that he moved in the freedoms and in the truths of what God had called him to do and what God had called him to be. I asked myself this question yesterday, so I wrote it on my outline, and that's why it's not on yours. Are you interruptible? Are you interruptible? Can God come along in your life? And I was asking myself this question, that's why I wrote it down. Am I interruptible so that as I'm moving through life, because sometimes we just start going through life and going through life and life kind of carries us, but there are times that God wants to interrupt life. There are times that God wants to come along and he wants to say, hold on, Blake, I've got something else for you. There's something else that I want to do. All of Paul's life was interruptible. There were times when you read about the life of Paul that he wanted to go in this direction, and God said, no, I want you to go in this direction. And the amazing thing is that it's all captured in the words of Scripture. And the reason that it's all captured in the words of Scripture is because we're to learn from it. We're to learn from what Paul did so that we can go forward with the momentum and the fruitfulness in our lives that God has for us. Now imagine if we're all doing that together. Imagine how powerful and how effective that is. Imagine how powerful and how effective that is in your own family. Imagine how powerful and how effective that could be in our church. So number one, a learned truth must become a living truth. Number two is this. To make new choices, I need courage. To make new choices, when I'm going to make new choices that are going to bring new momentum in my life, I need courage. I need courage. What is courage? Courage is this. Courage is the willingness to act out of a conviction rather than a feeling. That's what courage is. Courage is this willingness to act out of convictions rather than feeling. That's how Paul lived his life. Paul was a man of courage, and he lived out of the convictions of God's word, the things that God put on the inside of him, and out of that sprung what God had called him to do. Am I a man of courage? Am I a man of courage? Am I a man that wants to learn truth so I can live it? And is that being manifest in courage in my life? Am I walking in boldness and in confidence, knowing that God is leading me and knowing that God is guiding me? On Friday afternoon, I went to a graduation for a DTS, which is a discipleship training school with Youth with a Mission. I'm fortunate in that I get to most often be with them in the first week of their lecture phase. They have 12 weeks of lecture phase, and then they have 5 to 7 weeks of an outreach where they go somewhere around the world and they put into practice the things that they learned during their lecture phase. And so I went to the graduation, so now they've been gone for 5 months, and I always say to the students when they start the DTS, I'm going to make you a commitment and I'm going to make a promise to you, that if you will fully commit to what God wants to do in your life during this DTS, you will be a different person in 5 months. And I say that every single time. So when I'm at this graduation and I'm listening to young people come up and share their testimonies, I'm inspired by how different they are. And the reason that they're different is because of courage. The willingness to act out of conviction rather than feeling. They're learning some truth. They're learning God's truth. That's why Paul was able to say, I was this, but now I am this. And the reason he was able to do that was because he was a man of courage. Courage is also this. Courage is choosing those convictions over compromise. Choosing conviction over compromise. That's courage. That's what God is asking us to do. If we're going to have new momentum that's going to spring and we're going to make new choices, then I need to choose conviction over compromise. We live in a world today that is compromising everywhere we look. Isn't that true? Everywhere we look, we see compromise, compromise. When you study the life of Paul, you see a man of conviction. There is a big difference between compromise and conviction. Conviction is what will drive us and direct us into the plan and the purpose of God. Notice what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. I eagerly expect and hope that in no way will I be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage. Notice he uses the word courage. That I will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. How does one say that? How does one actually say that and then actually live it out like Paul did? Conviction. Courage. He learned the truth. He learned the truth, but he didn't just leave it here. He let it get down here. He let it get in the soles of his feet. And then all of his life, he walked it out. God has called us to be difference makers. God has called us to make a difference in the world that we're living in. And the way that we do that is by choosing these principles, the principles that Paul lived by, the principles that governed his life. And as we do that, we will make new momentum choices. And those new momentum choices will spring us into the new things that God has for us. That encourages me. It encourages me that I don't have to be tethered to my past. You know, some of us today are having a difficult time going forward because we're having a hard time forgetting the past. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, just further on, forgetting what is behind, I press on. Paul had this ability to be able to forget what he had done in the past to be able to go forward. All of us in this room must do this. Do not let yourself be tethered to your past. If you do that, you won't make new momentum choices. And if we do that, we won't fulfill what God has called us to fulfill. So a question on your outline is this. You may be able to fill it in right now. You may have to think about this for a moment. Is there an area of compromise in my life that God wants me to confront? That is a great question for me to ask myself. Lord, is there an area in my life of compromise that you want me to confront? Because if we're compromising, it's difficult to live by our convictions. And if we're not living by our convictions, we won't have courage. And if we don't have courage, we won't live the truth of God's word. And these all fit together so perfectly according to God's word. On your outline, a belief is something that you will argue about. A conviction is something you will die for. A belief is something that you will argue about, but a conviction is something you will die for. I don't know if people have a lot of convictions. I think we all have a lot of beliefs, but I don't know that we have as many convictions. But there should be certain convictions in our lives, and those convictions should be based on our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and how God has called us to live. And I have this conviction, and because of this conviction, whatever that conviction is, I make choices in this direction. Because of these convictions, I make choices in this direction. And see, if I spend my life and I commit myself to learning this truth and learning God's word in such a way that I can actually live it out, not only will my choices be a blessing in my life, my choices will be a blessing in your life. You see, God is connected us eternally together. God has connected us eternally, and we are going to spend eternity together. So my choices matter not only for me, but they matter for you. They matter for you. And your choices not only matter for you, but they matter for me. So it's important that we make the right ones. Honestly, I think it's as simple as this, if I could just boil it down to this. If we trust and walk in obedience to God's word, we are going to make right choices. If we trust and walk in obedience to God's word, we are going to make right choices. The choices we must make are not always new or easy, but right. Let me say that again. The choices we must make are not always new or easy, but right. In other words, some of the choices that we have to make today that are going to bring new momentum into our lives are choices that we made years ago. Choices to be faithful in our finances, choices to be faithful in our family, in our relationships. Those are not new choices that we're making. They're old choices, but they need to continually be made. So new momentum is going to spring not only from new choices, but new momentum is going to spring from right choices. And the continuing of making right choices in our life, our choices matter. And wouldn't it be just like the enemy to try to talk us out of making right choices? How many of you have been there before where you're in that place and there's this crossroads and you can make this choice and it may make your life a little bit easier, but on the other hand, it's not what God has. It's not God, what God wants. Nobody else sees it. Nobody else knows. But you're at that crossroads and you begin to ask, God, where is the ancient path? God, where is the good way? Because I want to walk in it, because your word says when I walk in it, I'll find rest for my soul. So the choices that we must make are not always new or easy, but they're right. How many of you would say that from time to time, this is a challenge? Raise your hand. Let me just see your hand. Okay, good. I'm just glad I'm not the only one. I'm just going to walk down quietly and find a seat and just ask Dennis and Cindy to come back and do some praise and worship. What if I said this to you? What if I said to you, please stop trying so hard? What if I just said, please stop trying so hard? What if I went as far as to say this? It's difficult to find biblical grounds for trying to do anything. If I was to say that to you, would you want me to prove it to you? Okay, then ask me to prove it to you. Thank you, I'm happy to do that. Let me give you number three and then let me prove it to you. Number three is this on your outline. To make right choices, so we've talked about new choices result or come from courage. To make right choices, I must train myself to be godly. Train myself. Now, look what Paul says to Timothy. Paul is getting ready to pass the mantle or the torch to this young man named Timothy, who probably is a teenager, or not much older than a teenager. And he's getting ready to pass him this great responsibility of pastoring the church at Ephesus. And so 1 and 2 Timothy are pastoral epistles. And here's what Paul is saying to Timothy. He said, Timothy, if you explain these things to the brothers and the sisters, you will be a worthy servant of Christ Jesus, one who is nourished by the message of faith and the good teaching you have followed. Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas or old wives' tales. Now notice what he says here. Instead, train yourself to be godly. He doesn't say anything about trying. He said, instead, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits of this life and the life to come. So I want you to imagine you have the option of choosing two words. You can either try to be godly, or if we take what God's word says, we train ourselves to be godly. Now, in the King James or in the New King James, in the original language, the Greek, that word train means exercise, or it's exercise in the King James, exercise unto godliness. Literally in its original language, here's what it means. So in the New King James or the King James, it's going to say exercise unto godliness. In the New Living, it says train yourself to be godly. But in the original language, which is the Greek, it says this. It says exercise in the nude. That's what it says. I was trying when I was studying this out, I was trying to get a word picture. I was trying to picture what this must have been. When Paul is talking about this training, he's talking about people that are doing hand-to-hand combat, and they did it in the nude. And the reason that they did it in the nude was because they didn't want anything to hold them back. They didn't want anything to hold them back. And the idea is of training is making sure that we're equipped in such a way that nothing will hold us back. Look at the definition on your outline of these two words. First, the word try. To make an attempt or to make an effort. That can be frustrating in our lives. On the other hand, the definition of the word train is this. To make skillful or capable of, to aim or direct. Big difference between trying and training. So if we're going to make new momentum that's going to spring from new choices, then it's not about me trying to be godly. It's about me training myself to be godly, which I need to understand is a lifelong commitment. Rick Warren said this, nothing becomes dynamic until it becomes specific. Nothing becomes dynamic until it becomes specific. So I need courage to make new choices. I need to train to make right choices. Let me give you number four and let me wrap this up for us. We need to develop a plan. If we're going to train ourselves to be godly so we can make new choices and momentum choices, then we need a plan. How many of you like plans? We need a plan. And here's what I thought about as I was preparing this message. 2 months ago, no, actually it's almost 3 months ago. 3 months ago, I rode in what is called the Deer Creek Challenge. A road bike, it's not certainly not a race, but it's a road bike challenge of over 100 miles. It was called the Deer Creek Challenge. I have some wonderful friends, and that is what they are, wonderful friends who are on staff here that are pastors. And about a year and a half ago, they started kind of pulling me under their wing, and they said, Blake, we want you to do this Deer Creek Challenge with us, and it's a century ride. I didn't know what a century ride was. I didn't have a road bike. I didn't have any of this stuff, but they said, we want you to do it with us. And so I thought, okay, I think I'll try that. I think I'll try that. Little did I know that I was biting off a lot more than I could chew when it came to this. But I thought about the correlation between this Deer Creek Challenge and our walks with God. There came a time in our lives when we said to God, yes. Yes, I'm going to walk with you. Yes, I'm going to commit my life to you. Yes, I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. We had no idea when we said that what that would mean. We had absolutely no idea what that would mean, but we've come to find out that it encompasses all of our life. In other words, we didn't just start it and quit. We're doing it for the rest of our lives. Is that not true? So when we develop this plan, here's what we need to do. Let me give you the first bullet point. We have to develop a plan, first of all, that is personal, and it will require discipline. If we're going to train ourselves to be godly, we have to develop a plan that is personal. Now, when we started training for this Deer Creek Challenge, these faithful friends took me under their wing, and they said, okay, here's what you need to start to do. And of course, I did that with them. And we did it for a long, long time. But what I realized is it was going to take a lot of discipline. If I was going to do this, it was going to take a lot of discipline. If we're going to follow God and we're going to begin to train and walk with Him, it's going to take a lot of discipline. The next one is this. My plan has to be practical. It has to be a practical plan, and it must work to serve you. The plan that you put together has to be practical, and it has to work to serve you. In other words, it's got to fit into your schedule, and it's got to fit into your lifestyle. Train yourself to be godly. Step back. God, how am I going to do that? I am going to train myself to be godly. It has to be practical in this sense. It has to work for you. It doesn't have to work for me. It has to work for you. Fortunately, when I was training for this Deer Creek Challenge, I had people that were out there further than me looking back, and they always had to look back, by the way, to find me, because I was always way back there. They would look back, but here's the amazing thing, especially Pastor Roger Gerard. He always come back and get me. He'd always come back. He'd be way out there, and then he'd start slowing down, but he always pulled me along. He always went right there with me. That's what I love about the Word. The Word just pulls you right along at the right pace. And it takes you where you need to go, when you need to go there. And we just need to make the choice. We just need to make the choice to say, I'm going to make this plan practical. In other words, make it work for you. If you're going to have new momentum that's going to spring from new choices, you need a plan that is personal, and it's going to require discipline, but you need a plan that's practical. And it can be as simple as this, and I mentioned this last night, but really it can be as simple as this. If you're not a morning person, then don't start saying to yourself you're going to get up at 4 o'clock every morning and have a quiet time, because it's not going to work. It might work for a week or it might work for a month, but it is not going to work. Now, I'm not speaking that over you. I'm just stating a fact. I am a morning person, and so morning is easy for me. I don't ever have to set my alarm, never. I'm always up, and I'm always up 2 hours before my alarm goes off. But some of you in here are thinking, 4 o'clock in the morning is of the devil. You're thinking, I don't get up before 4 o'clock. Don't even talk to me about 4 o'clock. Is that not true? But the fact of the matter is, if you start asking me to have a quiet time or devotional at 9 or 10 o'clock at night, I'm not doing it. I am not going to do it, because I will try it, but I will fail. And the reason that I will try it and I will fail is because it's not practical. It doesn't work for who I am. That's the amazing thing about Paul. God took who Paul was, he poured his spirit into him, and then he began to equip him and train him to fulfill God's plan and God's call for his life. That's what God wants to do in our lives. And I kept thinking about that with this Deer Creek challenge. This has got to be a personal thing for me. I've got to discipline myself, and I've got to make sure that this program is going to serve me. Because if I don't, something bad is going to happen. And the truth of the matter is, there is an adversary out there who wants to interrupt the plans of God in your life, and he's committed to doing it all of your life and all of my life. So we have to stay focused on the choices that we're making, because the choices that we're making matter. The next bullet point is this. The final bullet point is this. Your plan also has to be provable, and that means it will produce results. Your plan, if you're going to have new momentum that springs from new choices, you have to have a plan that's personal, you have to have a plan that's practical, but you also have to have a plan that's provable. Now, you don't have to prove it to me. You don't have to prove it to anybody else, but your plan has to be provable to you. You have to be able to step back at the end of the week, and you have to say that I've been learning truth so I can live it. I've been choosing courage. I've been choosing conviction over compromise, and as a result of that, I'm going in the right direction, and I'm choosing every day to train myself to be godly. God, I want to be godly, and what does that mean? It means that I gotta push through, and I have to push through, and I have to push through. There were many times when I was training for that Deer Creek Challenge that I needed help, but I kept being told this: put in the miles, put in the miles. Put in the miles. What does that mean? How does that relate today? Put the word in us. Just put the word. Just keep putting the word in us. I promise you, if we're faithful to put the word in us, Paul teaches that. Jesus taught that. If we're faithful to put the word in us, when it comes time to making choices, we will make the right choices. And from that will spring the new momentum. And we need to continue to do that. When we continue to need answers, we need to continue to do that. We did that race. That ride, I don't know why I call it a race, because it wasn't a race. But we did that ride on a Sunday in August. And we started that ride, I had an idea of what it was going to take. But until I got into it, until I realized the things that, and the obstacles and the challenges, I had no idea. I had no idea how difficult it was going to be. But the fact of the matter is, the training that had been done in the past, all of the effort and all of that time and all of that help that I had from other people in getting me ready to do that, it paid off in the end. Here's what hit me at the end of that ride that day. And all of the guys, there were 8 of us that went together, and all 8 of us finished it. But at the end of that ride, I called Melinda as soon as I went through the line, and the guys that had rode with me had finished, and they were at the finish line. And they were just cheering me on at the finish line. And when I went through that finish line, I can't describe it except to say this to you. The emotion of hitting and finishing that just hit me like I can't even tell you. I stopped. I pulled my phone out, and I called my wife, and I said, I did it. I said, I did it. I did it. And the fact of the matter is, we got a long race. We got a long race, but we can finish this race. We can finish this race, and we can finish this race strong, and we can finish it by God's grace and with God's help and with God's strategies, making the right choices, if we will do these things. Learn truth and live it. I want to be a man of courage. I want to be a woman of courage. I want to choose these things. I want to make new choices. I am, Father, going to train myself to be godly. When you put in the time, you will see the fruits. Some of you today, and I want to finish by asking you a question, and then in just a minute, we're going to stand together. What needs to be stripped away in your life? What needs to be stripped away so that you can make new or right choices today? Is there things that are hindering you? In the original language, they stripped it off, and they did it with nothing holding them back. Is there something in your life that needs to be stripped away? Is there something that you need to discard and you need to say, I don't want that to hold me back any longer, Lord? Some of us today in this room, we need to live out what we already know. The choices that we've been making that are right, we need to keep making those right choices. If we're at a crossroad and we're being tempted to make the wrong choice, stop right there. Go back to the word that's inside of you and make the right choice. Some need courage to change what we're doing. Some of us need some courage, and we need the courage to change what we're doing. Others of us, we need to begin immediately. We just need to say, God, I'm ready to train. I'm ready to train myself to be godly because I want new momentum. I want new momentum in my life that's going to spring from the new choices, God, that I make. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. Before I pray for you, I want you to take your outline and I want you to turn it over. And I want you to look at our memory verse for today, which is Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. And I want us to all read it together because this campaign, look at this wall. These are the names of us who have committed to these 40 days of momentum. Listen to what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, and we're going to read this together. We'll read it a couple times until we get it together in harmony. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's say it together. I press.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.